And now more fallout from the economic downturn. States facing record high deficits are making deep cuts in spending on safety net programs. That has children's advocates worried about efforts to prevent kids from being abused and neglected. As in other states, Oklahoma is finding such programs getting squeezed, just as people on the front lines of child abuse say the demand is growing. NPR's Pam Fessler went to Tulsa for this part of our series.
The women barely fit into the tiny chairs in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church in Tulsa, the rooms usually used for Sunday school. But these women are looking for a different kind of salvation.
There's sometimes, you know, I'll go back in the bedroom and I'll get my pillow and Red is in there watching cartoons and I'll go, and just scream in my pillow, you know?
Lori Moorman is one of several mothers who meet here twice a month. She has a 4-year-old daughter and a husband who's often away for work. She says even the best mothers sometimes feel like they're about to go crazy, especially if they have other stresses in their lives, which these women do, plenty of them.
I'm sure you guys heard the most recent crazy, bizarre thing. He basically laid his hands on me and I had to put him in jail.
Susan Pham is talking about the father of her 2 young boys, how he physically abused her.
Put a protection order against him and everything.
And then there are the bills to juggle. Health insurance, the rent, daycare, if they're lucky enough to find work. But here, these women get to let it all out and to exchange advice mom to mom with the help of a family support worker. Moorman says these are friends she can rely on.
Just having this here, you know, it just helps. It's just to know you're not the only one here struggling. Mm-hmm. And just trying to make it day to day. No, my 4 months off today.
The sessions are run by the Parent-Child Center of Tulsa, but funded by the state's Office of Child Abuse Prevention. Research shows that parenting groups like these can limit abuse by helping at-risk mothers, those with low incomes, histories of substance abuse, or other challenges. But the funding's been cut and will likely be cut again because the state of Oklahoma is $1.3 billion in the hole. Lawmakers say they want to protect children, but there are lots of demands. Still, children's advocates have some important allies.
If you really want to seriously deal with the issue of fighting crime, you invest in the types of programs that are going to give at-risk kids a healthy start.
Bill City is Oklahoma City's chief of police. He says this is the kind of thing that pays off in the long run. Children who have been abused are more likely to become violent criminals when they grow up, so police chiefs and sheriffs across the country are pushing to fund efforts to prevent abuse and neglect, even though it might compete with their own short-term interests.
We need additional police officers, but it's a balance.
City says he can put criminals in jail all day long, but it won't get at the root of the problem. And his officers see it firsthand. They're often the first to respond to reports of abuse. And there's plenty of it here in a state where teen pregnancy and drug abuse are serious concerns.
Are you leaving?
We have a child with a bruise on his face at a daycare, so Christy and I have to go.
That's Detective John Steggy of the Norman Police Department. He and another officer work at the Mary Abbott House, a cozy Victorian house in Norman. This is where the county's abuse and neglect cases are investigated. Police, welfare workers, and other specialists work side by side. The idea is to provide a non-threatening place where young victims can be interviewed once, not again and again by multiple agencies. Like everyone on the front lines I spoke to for this story, Executive Director Ann Way says caseloads are growing, even though funding is down.
Last week we had interviews scheduled for about 21 children, which is probably the largest week that we've ever had.
The stairs are steep and narrow, so be careful.
Outgoing Director Janine Baker takes me upstairs to see one of the interview rooms. Children come up from a downstairs waiting room filled with toys and stuffed animals, but here the room's bare with a big two-way mirror on the wall. Baker says alleged victims are told there's a police officer and a welfare worker on the other side listening in.
They watch TV. They know there's people behind the mirror. We're very open about that. Some of these kids have been betrayed by every adult they know, so we're not going to lie to them.
In the center of the room sits a small table with a large sketch pad. Children who've been physically or sexually abused can use it to help describe what happened. Sometimes they use cloth dolls. Baker removes a couple of them from a brown box by the wall.
This is probably a child.
She says the dolls come in every shape and race, boys, girls, men, women. There's even a grandpa doll.
So he's got grandpa hair on his chest and grandpa hair on his head. And
she opens the doll's pants.
Parts.
All the dolls are anatomically correct. This is serious business. Baker says most of the children who come here are the victims of sexual abuse. She thinks caseloads are up because people are more willing these days to report such abuse. But Mary Abbott House has also seen a rise in physical abuse cases with the economic downturn. Welfare worker Carla Holmes says she sees the pressures daily.
A lot of our parents are losing jobs. They're living in poverty. You know, there's a lot of substance abuse around here.
There also used to be two welfare workers at Mary Abbott House. Now there's only one. Two interview jobs have been cut to 1.5. And last month, it was a big shock when workers here tried to find emergency mental health services for a severely traumatized child. They called the place down the road that they usually used, only to find that it no longer cares for young children because of budget cuts. Pam Fessler, NPR News.